and good afternoon. This is Megan Barth with ReaganBabe.com. 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, coming at you live from Las Vegas. Another beautiful day here, coming at you also live, 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. So if you ever wondered, oh no, by the way, let me tell you that every Tuesday and Thursday at this hour, 3 to 4, I take over this mic for Wayne so he can get his workout in, because he's got to stay strong as he's kicking ass and taking names, being the capitalist evangelist warrior that he is. And he joins me and takes over his show at 4 o'clock, so he'll be in an hour. And so let's just take a walk through the mad world of Rachel Maddow, shall we? Because I can't let this one go. And if you ever wondered why the mascot of the Democrat Party is a jackass, look no further than Rachel Maddow. So I wonder how crow tastes. I was going to tweet her at Reagan_baby. You can tweet me on and follow me on Twitter, Reagan_baby. I was going to tweet her and ask her if crow tastes like chicken, because she ate a whole pile of crow. As she comes out and tweets out that I've got Trump's tax returns, and that tweet got retweeted like 80,000 times. So, of course, everyone tunes into her show more than she's ever had in her whole entire career on that one day. And you think, with all of the hype and with all of the mystery and with all of her hate that she has demonstrated against Republicans and Donald Trump in this administration, I don't know, she'd be prepared. You know, Reagan always said, trust but verify. And it doesn't look like she followed that admonishment. So she takes to the air and for 20 minutes goes on this long diatribe, weaving together all of these vast left-wing conspiracies. The only thing she was missing was a tinfoil hat. And she is the absolute poster child of the left right now. You remember the vast right-wing conspiracies when the Republicans wanted to impeach Bill Clinton because he was a complete sexual predator. This is the vast left-wing conspiracy that they're concocting, is everything from Putin and Trump conspired to rig the election with foreign Russian dignitaries, collaborating with people on the Trump team in order to rig the election in favor of Trump. And then they've got, you know, Trump is doing banking, I mean, in Russia, and anything they can do with these wild-eyed conspiracy theories in order to delegitimize this president, they're doing. And we're supposed to take them seriously? This is laughable. Rachel Maddow was laughable. Even NBC came out and tried to put her on The Tonight Show to, you know, save some grace. And as she's talking to Jimmy Kimmel, she's like, well, we're just giving a little bit of water to those people that are starving. What the hell does that mean? A little bit of water? It's like you gave them cyanide. You gave them nothing. You gave them absolutely nothing except for the fact you gave the biggest gift to Republicans and to Donald Trump by demonstrating and proving that, oh yeah, he paid taxes. He paid a lot. He paid $38 million. At 25%, the amount legally required and the maximum amount legally required. And here's the kicker. He paid twice as much as Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, who's always screaming that everyone must pay for their fair share. Well, what about your fair share, Bernie? See, this is the Democrats' problems. They always want to punish everybody else but themselves. They want to create rules for everybody else but themselves. They want to deny that they are the tax cheats. They want to deny that they are in bed with the Russians. They want to deny that they are in bed with the Islamists. They want to deny the fact that Donald Trump won this election because Democrats crossed the aisle and voted for a Republican. And I'm talking about the Rust Belt Democrats. They want to deny that Obamacare was a disaster, but they say it needs fixing and we're supposed to fix it? So you've got these Democrats screaming foul, but Rachel Maddow just gave us the biggest gift. And not only did Donald Trump pay twice as much in taxes as the socialist Bernie Sanders, but he also proved the liar Hillary Clinton wrong and Bernie Sanders wrong by them on the campaign trail stating that he didn't even pay federal income taxes. Well, obviously he did. And we have so many tax cheats on the left. If you look at MSNBC as a whole, there are 9 anchors, including Al Sharpton, who owes $4 million and backs taxes to the IRS. And he's an MSNBC host. Barack Obama only paid 19% in taxes. Donald Trump paid more in taxes than Comcast and MSNBC combined. So it looks like Donald Trump has done his fair share, but it's not going to be good enough. The 2 pages of taxes that Rachel Maddow had discovered because it was dropped in a mailbox of some kook reporter on the left who has basically stalked Donald Trump his whole life and has disparaged Melania Trump. And this is the problem with the press. So this reporter gets this 2-page document in his mailbox and then passes it along to Rachel. And somewhere in there is a felony. And that's where this discussion needs to go. Because this White House has been under assault. This administration has been under assault by felonious leakers who are compromising our national security as well as our individual rights. Can you imagine if you were like someone like Catherine Engelbrecht? And Catherine Engelbrecht was just a private citizen. She and her husband ran a company, I think it was a machining company, a factory down in Houston, Texas for 25 years. And as soon as Catherine Engelbrecht started True the Vote in order to root out all the voter fraud in Houston, she had 5 federal agencies descend upon her and her husband's business. And they nearly went bankrupt. Never before had federal agencies ever knocked on their family business's door. But when Catherine Engelbrecht became an enemy of the left, Barack Obama used and weaponized bureaucracies to go after these individuals and their business. And so why shouldn't we think that this is exactly what's happening to this administration? We know that the political enemies list of Barack Obama was very long. We know the political enemies list of the left is long. And we know that they've used these tactics before. The expanded powers of the NSA as far as spying on our confidential and personal private conversations should be what we're talking about. Because none of us truly are safe. If the government has this much power to destroy an individual, this is tyranny. And the Republicans on the Hill don't seem to get it, do they? The ones that we gave the largest majorities in 2010, 2012, are acting as though they are incompetent and impotent and powerless. I mentioned John McCain. He's one of them. Lindsey Graham, another one. Paul Ryan. I was told one time, Paul Ryan, you never trust a conservative from Madison, Wisconsin. No conservative ever comes out of Madison, Wisconsin. And Paul Ryan has this steaming pile of a health care bill sitting on the desk. And he says that he wants to do it in 3 pieces. Why? Why? It is time for bold action. Very bold action. The Democrats thought that the American people were stupid enough when they sold Obamacare as not a tax. When they sold Obamacare as you can keep your doctor, like your doctor. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. Knowing full well that that was nothing but lies. They used and manipulated the powers of the Senate and the House, the Congress, in order to ram that bill down the American people's throats. Well, guess what? We should just allow it to fail. Allow it to burn in the ash heaps of history. Because no matter what Donald Trump does, the left is going to blame him for people losing their health care, even though they don't have health care. They have a bunch of cards. They will blame him. They will say, as soon as this bill is passed and we try to fix Obamacare, 24 million people have lost their insurance. 12 million people have lost their insurance because of Trump care. So step away. Let it fail. and then pass a bill that is a free market bill that introduces competition into the market immediately out of the gate and let people taste what prosperity tastes like when freedom of choice comes into play. When they have more choices, you have more freedom and you're guaranteed prosperity. So we've got Rachel Maddow covered. No more about her, but we're going to get to Trump after this next break and his interview with Tucker Carlson last night. A great interview, especially when he was talking about the health care bill. So we'll come back after this break with that cut. This is Megan Barth, RegganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. Welcome back. This is Megan Barth, RegganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, filling in for the capitalist evangelist warrior, Wayne Allen Root, as I do every Tuesday and Thursday at this hour. He'll come back to his show at 4 o'clock, top of the hour, and he and I will talk the talk, walk the walk for a segment or two. But you can always call toll-free. I just tweeted out at Reagan underscore baby. Our call-in number is 844-WAR-NOW-1. That's 844-927-6691. Not only are we coming at you live from Las Vegas, but we're also in the Coachella Valley at 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. And I'd love to hear from our neighbors in Palm Springs. We rarely get calls from you guys out there. And I know you got a lot going on because I always say, don't California my Nevada. As a California refugee, I saw that state turn into a one-party totalitarian state, and I got the hell out of there as fast as I could. But I was back there last weekend for a voter fraud conference, I guess. There were about 150 people from all over California with all of their stories, and we were doing a presentation and kind of comparing notes. And I often get Facebook emails and emails and tweets about voter fraud. And what I can tell you is that I'm looking forward to Trump making and keeping one of his promises, and that is a federal investigation into voter fraud. Because just in Ohio, the other day, they found, I believe it was 60 illegal aliens had voted in the election. I was surprised it was so small. In Wisconsin, they found dozens of 17-year-olds that had voted. And so until we clean up our voter rolls and until we get this system basically sound and succinct by instituting a national voter ID, the Democrats will try to capitalize on as much fraud as possible. Because without the fraud and without the press in their back pocket, the Democrats are a minority party. I mean, you look at Rachel Maddow, for crying out loud. I mean, these are their talking heads. These conspiracy theorists are their talking heads. And most of the Democrats, like I said, in the Rust Belt, crossed over. The working men and women, the flyover country, as the Democrats like to call it, rose up and chose Donald Trump as president. And so he's keeping his promises. At least he's trying. Repeal and replace Obamacare. Executive orders for immigration, which we'll get into, of what the Hawaii judge just did. It's always the Ninth Circuit, right? And then, of course, you got the Fourth Circuit, a Maryland judge also sued, you know, is against it. So you've got these two radical judicial activists, one who I know is appointed by Barack Obama, defying federal law. Defying federal law. The main duty of this president is to keep us safe from enemies, foreign and domestic. And they are using their opinions against his duty. But one of his duties, one of his promises, is to replace and repeal Obamacare. And I want you to hear from a Democrat in California. His name is Eric Swalwell. And he's on with Martha McCollum last night, pleading and basically stating that Trump should negotiate with the Dems. This is going to be rich. Let's go to cut 7. Really? Now they want to work with us to save their hides after they rammed through the health care bill without a single Republican vote. They want us to work with them. Walk away, Donald Trump. Now is the time for bold action. Screw you, Eric Swalwell. Screw the Democrats. They screwed the American people. When 8 million people lost their doctor, 8 million people lost their insurance plans, they weren't too concerned with those people losing their doctor. Now all of a sudden they want people to see doctors. Under Obamacare, no one can see a doctor. Most people have cards, can't see a doctor. Most people were dumped on Medicaid. Most doctors walked away from Medicaid. Do you remember when Harry Reid took the Senate floor and he was wringing his hands and saying, the longer we wait for this bill, 16,000 people die a day that aren't getting health care. 16,000 people. We can't afford to stall this bill. They lie. And they lie. And they lie again. And a foundation built on lies is not a good foundation. A house built on lies cannot stand. So let it fail. But let's listen to Paul Ryan, shall we? Let's get Paul Ryan's take. He was on with Jake Tapper on CNN. And what he says about where the White House is and where the House is on this health care bill. Let's go to cut eight. Well, fantastic. I'm glad that you're all in as a team together. And what I heard from Trump last night, and we'll get to some of these clips after this next break, is that Trump always sees everything as a negotiation, right? He is the master of negotiation. He wrote The Art of the Deal. And if you haven't read Art of the Deal, you don't have to read the whole book, but he points out 10 steps in The Art of the Deal that I always refer back to when he's faced, you know, with a challenge or when he's working with the press. And as I watched him last night with Tucker, he is the best at PR. He is the best at inciting interest and a little controversy at the same time. But one thing that stood out to me from that interview was when he told Tucker Carlson that it didn't matter what bill they passed, the Democrats wouldn't help them at all because they will do everything to sabotage him. He had even said he had never seen anything like it, even in past administrations. You know, and if we look back on past administrations like Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan, et cetera, Newt Gingrich, Bill Clinton, they worked together to get things done. But this Democrat Party, they will do everything to undermine the will of the people that put this president in office, and they will do everything they can to sabotage his goals. But I think he's smarter than that. So let's hear from Donald Trump after this next break, and perhaps you. You can call in 844-WAR-NOW-1, 844-927-6691. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. Welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, live in Las Vegas and 98.1 FM in our sister city of Palm Springs in the Coachella Valley of California. Now, before Trump went to Nashville yesterday to honor Andrew Jackson and to give a rally. And, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine last night who had texted me, and he said, so what'd you think about the speech and the interview with Tucker? And I said, look, you know, Donald Trump understands that the left is going to resist, right? They're going to do, that's their new tagline and their new hashtag, resist. The ACLU is training people on how to resist and take over town hall meetings and to silence the opposition, which are the American people, and to silence any Republican that tries to take the stage. And they will try to undermine this presidency, as I said, every step of the way. And Donald Trump even said that the Democrats will stop him and won't work with him simply out of spite. Simply out of spite. And with Nancy Pelosi as the head of the party, the minority party, I don't know if you heard her, but she was on the dais, I believe it was this morning or last night. And if you want to talk about someone that's completely lost their marbles outside of Rachel Mad Cow, Nancy Pelosi is right up there leading the way. But her response was to Trump's budget. And the budget that Trump has put forward, I was on a radio station just before I take air here every Thursday, and they asked me what I thought about it. And I said, you know, it's a good start. Because if you look at the cuts across all of the federal departments, they average about 20 to 30%. So it's a little more than a scalpel, but it's not really a hatchet. And of course, the Democrats are already screaming, it's about the children. What about the children? We can't starve the children. So when you look at the budget and the budget that's put forward, I'll give you an example. We've got the EPA. It is down 31% in the new budget. Thank God. State and other development programs, State Department down 29%, agriculture down 21%, labor down 21%, justice down 20%, health and human services 20%, excuse me, I'm sorry, yeah, 20%, commerce 16%, education 16%, transportation 14% reduction, housing and urban development reduction of 13%, interior 12%, energy 6%, treasury and NASA both 4%, it looks like. Veterans Affairs, Homeland Security, and Defense are the three areas of the federal bureaucracy which will grow. Defense to the largest by 10%. And when you look at how much government has grown enormously, especially under Barack Obama and his pet projects like the EPA, this slash is very modest, in my estimation. We could actually probably double those numbers and we would still survive. But here is Nancy Pelosi's rambling, incoherent response to the press. And I think she and John McCain should go find a home somewhere. And here it comes. Hold on one second. What in the hell is she talking about? Did any of that make sense to you? It's about the children. It's about the children. It's about the children. Repeating herself, laughing about what, I'm not sure. But, you know, she relied. She is one of the Democrats who relied on the stupidity of the American people. And she's going to lecture us about education? Yeah, now she's talking about St. Patrick's Day. Is she hoping for a lucky charm? Maybe she's going to pray to St. Patrick in order to find something on the Putin-Trump deal. You know, and then that will somehow get him impeached. The woman has lost her freaking mind, along with John McCain. They both, like I said, need to find a nice home somewhere. They can conspire together, reminisce about the old times, and get on with their life. I mean, if she and John McCain aren't the two poster children for term limits, I don't know who is. And so this budget that he has put forward is somewhat aggressive. Like I said, it's not a hatchet, but it's a good scalpel. But if we look at the VA, and this is what I was saying, when we look at the VA, they received an enormous amount of increase in funding in the last year or two of the Obama administration because of all the scandals that had come out. The death lists, the waiting lists that were created for the veterans who did not seek care, who died while waiting for care. No one was fired. No one. No one was fired from that fiasco. So throwing money at the problem is not going to work, because when you throw money at a government agency, it only goes to the bureaucrats. You know, there's so much duplicity in government agencies. They are having meetings to plan their next meetings. And nothing ever gets down to the ones who, the money never reaches those who truly need it. Our veterans, our children, our elderly. Because we have expanded the entitlement class so greatly through an open borders policy. And I talked about this on ReaganBabe.com under the ITIN program, an IRS tax loophole allowing tens of billions of dollars to be sent to illegal immigrant dependents. You know, we aren't here to take care of the rest of the world. We need to focus on ourselves and take care of our needy, our children, citizens of this country. And the Democrats just don't want to take accountability for all their failures and for their loss. And they parade out someone like Nancy Pelosi, who rambles and stumbles and laughs, not even at the right time or on cue. God, I love to win. I love being in this chair. I love that my president is Donald J. Trump, and I love winning. And we are going to continue to win, especially if Donald Trump is putting forth some of these bold proposals like these budgets. But when it comes to healthcare, I think you could do better. Do we have time to take a call? Yeah, why not? We got a couple minutes. Let's go to Ken. He wants to talk about debt-to-income ratio. He's calling from Las Vegas. Hi, Ken. This is Megan. Line one. Hi, Ken. This is Megan.
You know, Megan.
Thank you.
Yeah, hi, Megan.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, I really enjoy all the talking points that you and Wayne have. But, you know, I'd like to see both of you constantly remind people that this country right now, as it stands, is $21 trillion in debt. The congressional office budget, I forget what they call that, the COB.
Uh-huh.
They
CBO.
Came out and admitted today for the first time, and I've never heard anybody say it at a press conference, but they admitted they're $21 trillion in debt. $20 trillion in debt. And, I mean, you never heard that one time during Barack Obama's 4 years. But the bottom line is our debt-to-income ratio is now at 100%. We have got to get a grip on the spending. If you were spending every penny you made, you would eventually have to do something about either cutting down on your spending or trying to work and save more, maybe both. But this country's got to address that issue of the debt. The debt, we're on our way to a very dangerous situation where we're jeopardizing our currency. If we get up to about 150% debt to income, people are going to find that their dollar does not buy very much. You know, a dollar's already worth 97% less than it was in the 1960s. What more do they want?
Well, no, you bring up some good points, and I haven't talked specifically about debt or to length about debt, but what did you think about the budget as far as the reduction in spending when it comes to these bloated bureaucracies? I mean, like I said, I would like to see more of a hatchet to reduce some of our spending on these duplicitous programs and agencies, but we're taking a scalpel. And so what do you think about President Trump's budget? I know he has actually talked about reducing the debt. But we're going to see increased deficits, especially when it comes from defense. But what do you think about this budget that he's put forward, and how do you see him tackling the debt?
Well, I like him tackling the debt. The budget is fine with me. Don't forget there's 22 million people on the payroll with the government. That's what, about 8% of the country? I mean, really, it's approaching 10% of the population works for Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked when I heard those numbers recently.
Yeah.
We've got to cut the budget somehow. There's no question about it.
Well, it looks like to me, some statistic that I saw, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that it looks like a couple hundred thousand jobs. You know, everyone was freaking out. Oh, my God, people in D.C. aren't going to have jobs. Well, you know, they've had some pretty cushy government jobs that are duplicitous in nature for quite some time. Go back out into the free market, into the private sector, and find a job like the rest of us stiffs. So I think what you're going to see from this budget is a reduction in the size and footprint of government, especially in certain agencies like the EPA. You're going to see the reduction of regulations, specifically from the FDA. And I think we're going to obviously see a much larger GDP ratio, which right now is at, 1.5, 1.4, something like that percent. It's been that way for 8 years. So once we get an injection of the free market and reduce all these regulations and reduce the size and footprint of government, I think you're going to see our debt drop. And I think that you're going to also see the wages increase. And you're also going to see more revenue going to the federal government, because that's just how it works, right? That's just how the economies of scale play out. More people are working, more revenue into the federal government. Any last thoughts, Ken, before I cut you?
Megan, I agree with you completely, but I just don't understand why people are so hesitant to try to cut this budget, save money, you know, save their their jobs, their cash, the value of their homes. I just don't understand why they're fighting him. Maybe you can explain it.
Well, maybe I'll try to explain it after this next break, but I thank you for your call, Ken. And what I can say to that, actually, Ken, is people are afraid of change. You know, change is a scary thing. And people really haven't tasted the free market in quite some time. And I feel like if he really goes after a burgeoning free market approach for this economy, people will understand and taste freedom and thereby understand what prosperity really, truly looks like. So thank you for your call. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, live out of Las Vegas and 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. And, you know, I was lucky enough last year to be able to visit Honolulu, Hawaii. I have a friend who had a friend there, and so we traveled together. And I hadn't been there in quite some time. And for those of you who have may never been there or haven't been there in a while, I was so shocked by what I saw. And it was the whole main promenade in Honolulu. I can't remember the name. It's some Hawaiian long, like, multi-consonant name. But it's the main drag in Honolulu. And as you're leaving Waikiki, you're taking this main drag, and it is literally a tent city. Homeless. Waikiki and Honolulu have been overrun by homeless. It's a welfare state. It's been run by Democrats for eons. And so, of course, Donald Trump puts out his executive order, his revised executive order, when it comes to stopping immigration from terrorist-sponsored states. He's removed Iraq. He tried to make it more, palatable for the judicial activists. But it didn't satisfy one judicial activist that was appointed by Barack Obama on the federal bench in Hawaii. And I want you to hear what the Hawaii governor, Ige, said about why they sued the federal government over this new executive order. We're going to go to cut number 5. Well, I don't know if you've gone down the Hawaii streets of Honolulu, Governor, but the special place has definitely been overrun by homeless, and your entire budget has been overrun by the welfare state. And so this does not discriminate on the fact that we have a religion or a background of immigrants. It does not discriminate at all. Again, we have a governor and a federal judge defying federal law. And I believe that this is going to change because, according to Trump, when he was speaking in Nashville, he will take this fight all the way to the Ninth Circuit, all the way to Supreme Court. And this is how one man with that much courage will make a majority, in the words of Andrew Jackson. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Thanks for having me. Wayne Allen Root is up next, the warrior himself. So stay tuned. 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks.
All right, Wayne Allen Root, War Now. Welcome to the Wayne Allen Root Show. Megan Barth sitting in. She did a great first hour. Thank you, Megan.
You're welcome, Wayne.
And I want to welcome all you back to the show. I'm your middle-class warrior, relentless freedom fighter, capitalist evangelist, conservative rock star, and all-around badass. This show is sponsored by Swiss America, the number one precious metals company in America. I call them the gold standard. Contact Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, 800-BUY-COIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com. And now more than ever, you need gold or silver. The world is awash in debt. And throughout history, thousands of years, the only thing that proves the antidote to debt is gold or silver. All right, so before I get to my early conversation with Megan in this segment, I just want to quickly read. I want Megan to hear this, though. I want to read. You know, I get so many wonderful emails from people who, A, love the show, B, fans of this show, C, fans of me, thank me for everything I did for Donald Trump, and D, fans of my RJ column, the Las Vegas Review-Journal. It's probably pretty even at this point between RJ column and this, which is really cool. But I also get my share of hate mail. So I want to read you a hate mail email that came in. This is how liberals think. So my column today in the RJ was describing the worst Republican governor in America, Brian Sandoval.
Yay.
What a loser he is.
I have to read it.
Well,
I know. I need to go like first thing
boo
in the morning.
On
I know.
You.
You usually copy me on it.
All right. I'll get. I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you. I can send it to you right now.
All right.
So here's how liberals think. Your misunderstanding of Governor Sandoval's customers. I wrote that. My grandfather taught me the two most important things in life. Number one, the customer is always right. Number two, if the customer is wrong, refer back to number one. And that Brian Sandoval's customers are my customers who listen to this show, and he has abandoned them. He doesn't listen to them. He gives them the middle finger. He doesn't care what we think. That's his customers. Okay? How is that wrong? So here's what the guy says. His name is Ron. I won't embarrass him, give his last name. I don't ever say the last name of conservatives. I won't say it of liberals either. Wayne, to the point, in your column in today's Las Vegas Review-Journal, you display most, if not all, the errors in thinking that are common to the radical right. The first and most grievous. I'm a freaking murderer. Grievous.
You're radical.
I'm a rapist.
You're radical.
Grievous. You know, can you imagine what liberals think is grievous? Never hurt someone in my life. I'm grievous. The first and most grievous error is in believing that Governor Sandoval's customers, quote unquote, he puts in, and are only members of the radical right like you. Yeah. That's simply not true, and it's probably the biggest intellectual failure of your movement. Governor Sandoval's customers, in quotes, are all the citizens of Nevada. President Bannon's customers, is what he writes, President Bannon's customers.
Oh, he's not unhinged at all.
No, are all of America. I don't know if you don't understand that or if you make more money pretending that you don't understand that. If you do understand that, but rant just for the money, as I suspect, you're an amoral whore who will say anything for money. I've read your essay. He means my column. It's called a column, you lame-brained liberal. I've read your essay several times now and have concluded that you're just a pompous whore smirking as you do your part to destroy the country. No real American would hold the hatred for Americans that you and President Bannon and VP Miller hold. You're in it for the money. I'll keep your column for reference because it's so filled with hatred for Americans. I want you to hear my answer. What a jerk liar you are. What a delusional loser. Obama never did one thing to help me in 8 years. He screwed GOP voters for 8 years. He stole from us. He had a nice name for it. It's called income redistribution. He ruined our health care. He made our rates go up by sixfold. He screwed Israel. He opened the borders and flooded the country with welfare addicts and terrorists. He verbally abused business owners. He regulated us to death, tripling my legal bills. Oh, yeah, he ruled for all Americans. Know my ignorant, hypocritical friend who is full of crap. Obama ruled for only Democrats, your friends. You live in a delusional world, but you've inspired me. This will be my column in the RJ soon. Love, Wayne.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was his name, Ron?
Yeah, stick it up your you-know-what. Ron, yeah, Ron. Let me tell you something. Name one thing a Democrat has ever done for a business owner, ever. Like, Democrats rule for everyone. They're benevolent. They're such good people. Name something. I'm a business owner. Name something any Democrat, not Obama, any Democrat in history has ever done that has ever benefited me. I'm looking. Are there crickets out there? Anyone got an answer to that? Dial up the phone line. 844-WAR-NOW-1. 844-WAR-NOW-1. I'm waiting for something a Democrat has ever done for the majority of Republican voters who work for a living and pay taxes. Name something a Democrat has done for us. I'm waiting. Oh, overtime rules? You think that'll keep your job? Minimum wage rules? You think that'll keep your job? Letting men get 3 weeks off because their wife has a baby. Oh, you'll be hired real soon.
$15 an hour.
Yeah, $15 an hour. Oh, yeah. You're all headed for lots of jobs. Wait until you see what happens. The only people getting hired for the next 10 years because of Democrats are robots. That's it. Robots. That's all that's getting hired.
Wait a minute. If some refugees are Republican voters, Starbucks is going to hire them.
If refugees were Republican voters. Exactly. So I repeat, name something Democrats actually do for Republican voters.
I'm trying them.
So when these morons.
It's Friday. I'm nearly checked out.
A politician's job is for everyone? Really? When Democratic voters will never, ever give Donald Trump a benefit of the doubt. Ever.
No, it's President Bannon.
President Bannon
and
Vice President Miller. Right.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't say Vice. What about Secretary of State Root? Didn't I get in there? How come I don't have a job? What the hell, man? I'm the Treasury Secretary. Didn't you know that, Ron? So
can
you
I
know,
be the head of the Department of Education and then I'm going to
shut it
down?
Actually, I would like the job of Secretary of Free Speech because I would teach Rod a thing or two. He'd be banned for life. But the end result is, you know, I love Ronald Reagan. I love Donald Trump. And yet liberals treated them both so horribly. What did Democrats do for Republicans? Nothing. They threatened to assassinate us. They want us impeached. They want a military coup against Donald
That's
Trump.
Because we're radical.
They say we're dumb. We can't have our finger near the nuclear button. They love people on welfare. They love people on food stamps. They must have loved Muslims.
And they must
but
have
what
loved,
do they do for me?
They must have loved the 16 terrorist attacks that occurred under Barack Obama's watch on our soil. Right?
Well, and how about, I think there were 90 convicted radical Muslims from the 7 countries that Trump originally banned in that travel ban that isn't actually a travel ban, but rather just a temporary pause. But they love to call it a travel ban, so I'll call it that. From those 7 countries, I think it was 90 people convicted of terrorism in the United States or attempted terrorism from those specific countries. But, oh, there's no
and
threat.
And 300 active FBI investigations into the same.
So, I mean, do Democrats ever keep my children safe at night? Do they make the military more powerful?
No, they're too busy, like, you know, building new bathrooms and figuring out that there's 38 genders that we now have to kind of decide.
You know, because I'm a white male and because my children are not transgender, they don't do anything for me. Nothing. I'm not Muslim. They do nothing for me. I'm not an illegal. They do nothing for me. I'm not gay. They do nothing for me. They don't do. I'm not poor. They do nothing for me.
I heard a rumor, though.
Yeah, you heard a rumor? Who was my boyfriend?
Exactly. Bannon.
Obama.
Bannon.
All right. I just had to read that letter. I just thought that letter was just perfect to describe what liberals are really like.
Well, at least it didn't have violence in it.
No, they didn't threaten my life, which I've had many.
Yeah, many of those. Yeah.
So, you know, but it's coming. Don't worry. He gave me his full
Ron
name. That's why
it sounds like he's very lonely.
All liberals are lonely. They, you know, the reason
and angry.
The reason why liberals don't understand taxes is that the typical liberal is single, lives home alone, has no children, and makes like $50,000 a year or less. And so they don't understand the burdens on the life of a typical conservative and Christian who has 4 kids. I have 4 kids. Has a family to support. Has a house. Has a mortgage. Has kids in college. Taxes. Healthcare because of Obamacare 6 times higher. My God, life is very, very stressful.
Yeah, but you're rich.
Yeah, I'm rich. I'm not rich. Thanks to them, I'm rich, and it goes in and it goes out.
Well, as Chuck Schumer said, anybody making $250,000 a year is rich, and that's mostly small business owners.
And you know how I define me? I'm poor at a much higher level.
Right. Exactly.
Poor at a much higher level. All right. So, oh, by the way, before we go to ad break, so what was your big topic in the first hour? What were you talking about?
I did a little bit on the budget. I did a little bit on Obamacare. I did a little bit on Nashville and the ban that was overturned by a federal judge appointed by Obama in Hawaii.
Yes, and I'm writing that column now, and my buddy is seeing Donald Trump tomorrow. He'll be having dinner with him.
Good.
And he wants to hand the column directly to Donald. So he said, think of your best column to write. So I gave him a couple suggestions, and he picked one. And it was my suggestion that all Muslim refugees now forevermore be shipped to Hawaii, and they will stay there. That's where they will go. They like them so much, let's fill it, and no more tourists will come because tourists aren't going to come. See, everyone lies. It's the not in my backyard theory, right?
Right.
Everyone loves Muslim refugees, but if you tell liberals even, rich liberals, that they're going to be right by their hotel on Waikiki Beach, no one's going to Hawaii anymore.
I was just talking about
my
trip to Waikiki.
So we could kill their whole terrorism industry.
It's
a homeless
shelter.
Bury Hawaii if it's the last thing I do. I'm going to, how do you say aloha backwards? I don't know, but I'm about to give you a middle finger backwards aloha. I'm going to send you a message. And here's what got me angry, by the way, because you say, wait, it's just the judge. No, no, it's not just the judge. It was the Attorney General of Hawaii that brought the suit, and he was asked at a press conference, be honest now, the exact law that was just passed, if it had been anyone but President Trump, would you have challenged it? He said, no, I can honestly say I just did it because it's President Trump.
Right.
So that's it.
It's not based on logic.
I'm going to bring Hawaii to their knees. I'm going on Fox News. I'm going to demand a nationwide boycott of all 62 million Trump voters no longer vacationing in Hawaii. I'm going to bring Hawaii to their knees. I've had it.
I went there last year in Waikiki.
I've been there 50 times. I love Hawaii. I'm not going
But
anywhere.
Waikiki has turned into basically a housing shelter.
Oh, it's all
for
homeless people in tents?
Oh, my God. That's it. You drive down, I think it's Ana Moana Boulevard or
whatever. Yeah, I think that's the name.
Ana Moana?
Yeah.
It's all tents. It's all homeless people. They have taken over the entire Waikiki
Strip. I have a better name.
Strip.
It's I'm a Wana Food Stamps. I'm a Wana Food Stamp Boulevard.
I'm a Wana Muslim
but
Refugee Camp.
I want every Muslim refugee to be sent to Hawaii. From now on, that's the Ellis Island of Muslim refugees.
How do you say Alawala Akbar in Hawaii?
Alawala Akbar, Alawala Food Stamp, Alawala Welfare Check.
Aloha Akbar.
How do you say aloha backwards? Wait, I got to spell it and see. Is it the same thing spelled both ways? Wait a minute. No. It's
O-H-O-L-A. Ahola.
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 Yes, you're
a whole lot of
you're
Muslims.
In a whole lot of trouble, buddy.
You're in a whole lot of Muslims.
A whole lot of trouble when Wayne Root goes on Fox News and says nationwide boycott. Because I did not explain this to you. You know how liberals think we're so rich? You're right. Nobody with money is going to ever vacation in Hawaii after I get done with you. So all that's left is Yemen people and Somalia vacationers and Iraq and Iran. Did I leave anyone out? There's another country. Oh, Syria.
Syria.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the crowd that comes from Syria to vacation on Waikiki Beach. I can't
Aloha, Akbar.
And by the way, this is what the Attorney General said. Number one, Attorney General Hawaii. Number one, he wouldn't have brought the lawsuit if it wasn't President Trump, even if it was the same exact law. And number two, he worries what this could do to Hawaii tourism.
So he's not worried about
62 million upscale and wealthy college-educated Trump voters. He's worried about the ads running in Syria for Aloha,
Akbar.
Come to Hawaii from Syria. This is how mentally ill liberals are. They are mentally ill.
Maybe Ron will go to Hawaii. your fan,
Ron. Ron. Liberals will keep Hawaii going.
Right.
That'll be it. The entire Hawaiian economy will be run by high school teachers from Las Vegas who are all extreme Democrats who get their $30,000 checks and complain all day long while they have the entire summer off and get off at 3 o'clock each day. And unlike me, I never have a vacation. I haven't been to Hawaii, by the way, 5 years. I've been there 50 times in my life.
You should go now. I hadn't either.
I have no time.
I was shocked.
But I can't go now because now I can't ever go again because now I'm telling everyone else not to go. So now Hawaii's off my list too. So, you know,
we'll go to New Zealand.
New Zealand's cool.
Yeah.
That's where everybody's leaving America and going to New Zealand when they give up their citizenship.
That's right.
All right. We're going to an ad break. We get back. We've got the next mayor of Henderson, I hope, Rick Workman in studio. He is the only Republican candidate with a serious chance to win for mayor of Henderson. I know there's a kid. There's like a 19-year-old kid running. Rick Workman is my choice for Henderson mayor, and he's a great guy, and he's here in studio. And it just so happens I'm holding a fundraiser at my home tomorrow night for Rick Workman, and you're all invited. Hopefully he's got an email address or a phone number for everyone to call that they can register and RSVP for tomorrow night's fundraiser at my home at Anthem Country Club because we want to raise money and elect Rick Workman, my buddy, as mayor of Henderson so that we don't get low-income housing put into Henderson and so our taxes are not hiked up and our property taxes are not hiked up. I'm counting on Rick to save us. All right, we'll be back with the next mayor of Henderson, Rick Workman. I'm Wayne Allyn Root. Megan, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Megan, you look beautiful today.
Oh, well, thank
Absolutely
you.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Really?
Yes, gorgeous. Wow. Wayne Allyn Root, worn out. There's a big battle out there. Battle for America. Battle for our soul.
Aloha.
Battle for the middle class. Battle for the taxpayers. And this is war.